Watson Hall presents
The Pirates of Drynax, 2nd edition, with Nick Marsh as the Games Master.
The Trojan Reach, the place where empires die.
An oasis of culture and technology in a dangerous and barbaric sector.
Drynax itself was blasted to ash, leaving the floating palace as the only remaining property of the King of Drynax.
He will give you the Harrier as your ship and more. He will give you a letter of mark and reprisal.
Solitary worlds can't bloody hold out against a God's cursed empire.
You take the Harrier and you cut a bloody swathe across the stars. Every ship in space is your legal prey. We do this right. And we'll show there's life in this old empire yet.
An excellent way to make a lot of money really quickly.
They wanted me to be on the prison blinders and I didn't.
Reaching out pleadingly towards us.
I want to build something that lasts.
Wealth distribution is a perfectly reasonable idea.
Or carve out a new kingdom in blood and steel.
Oh God, that's disturbing. Right, do you? You won't remember, John. But
well, I remember a conversation I had with an ambassador for some.
Yes, he was the ambassador from the Imperium.
So that's why the thread so I'm hanging on to.
I feel like I do remember, John.
Thank you, sir.
That's a good sign. There was a lot of court schmoozing. The king invited you to a banquet in your honour, which Sam skipped out on, but everyone else went to and met a few of the courtly characters. Lord Rax, I think you were quite got on better than you expected. He's the defence minister for Drynax, and as you've got the only ship that they've got that's jump capable. He's not your biggest fan, basically.
Yeah, I'm trying to point out to him that this would not actually be an asset to him in his job. In which, yeah, of course, I'm lying, but, you know.
He's reassured that at least, even if the plan is absolute bollocks, as he believes, at least you're not complete idiots that have the ship.
What we need to do is to get these people to accept that, you know, they'll get some credit if credit is going around, but they won't get the blame. And that will probably help smooth a few things over.
You see, you needed to be there, Sam.
Well, no, because I need to... Well, anyway, you fill in and I'll tell you what I need to do.
You met Prince Harrick, who is the recently... He was badly damaged to the point of being something of a smear on the floor. He's the son of King Oleb. He's been in kind of stasis and healing, the equivalent of a back-to-tank, for about 10 years and has just come out of it.
Wow.
Put it this way.
He's
perfectly normal and completely
He makes me
fixed.
Look normal, Beady Beady.
Twisted and evil.
He's the human equivalent of Uncanny Valley, basically.
Yeah.
Mark Zuckerberg. Gotcha.
There you go. I was about to say David Cameron, but I think you beat me. He's not as slick as David Cameron. Yeah, Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah. Pick a lizard, any lizard, really.
And you also met Princess Rao, who came aboard your ship, not in a good way, to...
Give me time.
You're waiting for it to go on.
Nowhere near the engines. That's all I ask. Nowhere near the engines.
She explained to you that the nearby worlds of Clark and Torbol had both been raided by, they think, the same group of pirates. You don't really know anything about them. But there is a bounty for their reward, and Princess Rao thinks... It's her scheme, actually, that she's convinced Olav to do what you're doing. She thinks if there is a way you could apprehend the pirates in the name of Drynax, that would be a good thing for public relations, particularly as you, not you, but the Drynaxians destroyed both those worlds, more or less, in the past. So it might smooth the water over a bit. So you have jumped to Clark. which, how should I describe it? Wolverhampton with a death cult is the best way of thinking of it.
Is that what all that was about?
Yes.
I couldn't work it out either. I just assumed I just assumed that there was a place called Wolverhampton in the,
approximately 17 million Wolverhampton fans one night. They were on their way back from Wembley. They'd won, so, you know, I guess that was as good as it gets with Wolverhampton fans.
So that was a, there you go.
To be fair, I know lots of Wolverhampton fans. Most of them are fine. One of them, runs their, or used to 20 years ago, ran their, fighting squad, shall we say.
I'm casting no aspersions on the Wolverhampton football team.
Yes, on the addresses that can be found over the internet.
As we see. but I am saying that Wolverhampton itself is a shit.
I imagine many of them would agree.
Well, no, that's a
or at least
harsh.
It was when I finished 20 years ago. Finished as in the sense that I have finished visiting there. Anyway, Torpol is a giant...
It was quite nice when you were there.
No,
do you know what it's like
when
you're not
there?
It's a nice pub.
I'm just wondering if the problem here is that you were there and you're not realising that
there's
kind of an observer bias.
Just because I think Cornwall's a shit hole. Plymouth's quite nice.
Good.
And yet, somewhat ironically, everybody else thinks that Plymouth is a shithole.
So they, Drinax bombed them during the collapse of the Drinax Empire, destroyed their tech base, and because they used to have technology that could heal people in a similar way to Prince Harrick, has more or less come back from the very nearly dead, if not actually dead. They've slowly developed this kind of weird death cult. The psychopomps are in charge of the planet, but they're also in charge of this kind of religious cult of the dead, to the point where they encase all their dead in, it looks like marble, but it's a polymer block.
Black, obviously.
And they're sort of held black, obviously. It looks
they all look like Han Solo after he's been...
Exactly. It's very much that. And then they use those blocks to build their temples with.
Latrines.
And then the idea is there will come the day of healing when they will all be released, when they've rebuilt their tech base to the point
This happened because Drinax bombed them en masse and they didn't have enough hospital capacity.
Welcome to Clark.
So their plan is essentially, at some point in the future, we'll have a zombie army and we'll take over.
Well, that was the plan.
Something like that.
Is that it?
More fiddly than that, because the people who are in charge of all this have noticed that should the plan ever come to fruition, they would not be in charge anymore.
They're shit out of a job. So it's not necessarily in their vested interest to push along with this plan. There are no metaphors here for any kind of organised religion.
But this is why we are not offering technological uplift.
So you have arrived at Clark, and you're here to... You realise, as you enter the system, that your bulletin board updates, they have posted a half mega credit reward for the pirates that attacked there. It wasn't just pirates in the space lanes. The issue they've had is much like the Ogma Raiders. They've gone down to the surface of the planet and attacked the people, which is why they can't abide it.
Right.
So Clark itself has quite a nice spaceport. It is on, you may notice, the Florian League trade route. So it gets quite a lot of traffic. It's not like the backwater that Marduk was. Most people are a bit creeped out by the whole place and they just land there, refuel, sell anything that they can, buy anything that they can and bugger off.
Can I just put in a thought here? Because what I was going to bring up is now events have obviously moved on. But I was hoping to get word, you know, quite discreetly, to whoever might be, well, it's quite clear that this ambassador is poking around.
Theo Pollock.
Yeah, quite. other white fish are available. So I wanted to get word to... There's bound to be some sort of spymaster or the guy who, you know... But basically the Malcolm Tucker character in this government, in a way.
Lord Rax would probably be your person.
Right. That he should know that had been sort of approached, and clearly this person is thinking, is investigating and trying to make trouble.
Okay. So the message you could have done that before you left. The message that Lord Rax would get back to you is, thanks for the information. Under no circumstances can he find out that you are pirates. Because he is the ambassador to
the
Imperium.
Well, I haven't mentioned anything, you say, so.
I mean, thanks.
As I recall, most of what I said was completely incoherent.
much as Theo Pollard. The good news, I mean, Lord Rax is fairly terse in his messages, so he doesn't say much, but you got the impression that Theo Pollock is not the sharpest ambassadorial tool in the diplomatic cutlery set. It is not a
plumb
job.
He might be able to call on, you know, let's say he gets a secretary or a staff member who turns up and perhaps is really a sharper tool than he is.
Could be.
He can call someone in. So just they should be alert to the fact that he's, you know, he's on the prowl.
That's very hard. Only, you know, they suggest you are very careful around him and your dealings with him. Appreciated. Meanwhile, you land on the drizzle covered, as you're flying down, you've got permission to land from the upport. The upport's basically a refueling station. There's not much else there. The downport, you fly over acres and acres of what, like, mausoleums. It is raining. It's grey.
A bit morbid. I'll put the wipers on.
There you go. Piloting chair. And that was the end of the...
Not that.
You land down
on... Listen, that's pretty much what killed John Denver.
Yeah, also the fuel tank installation.
Is that why he crashed?
The guy who built his plane had decided to move where the secondary tank activation valve was, and he was running out of fuel, and this genius who'd built the thing apparently put it behind the pilot, so he had to turn around in his seat to undo it, and the plane did that.
Oh, that's really depressing. There was I heard about one where heard about a plane crash. Where was that? Where the guy's kids went up into the cockpit and he said, "Oh, go on, have a go," knowing that the autopilot would correct them.
Yeah.
Except the teenage kids overcorrected and that it just basically overcompensated.
I think what was the podcast? The
Cautionary Tales.
Cautionary Tales. Yeah. Yes, it's on that. I think.
Yeah. Anyway, happy tales of plane crashes.
Never mind children in the cockpit. We don't allow children in the spacecraft. Or with a 200-meter explosion zone, just to be on the safe side.
Yeah, they're not allowed in the spaceport while our ship is even docked.
No, no, that is completely unfair. We allow them...
Planet-wide, then.
No. We allow them, so long as they come in on a low in a low berth, we keep them in a low berth, and then we send them back out in the low berth.
Too many opportunities for them to defrost, you know. I'm not going to risk it.
Are you... I'm assuming you're landing in your Drynaxian ambassadorial sort of livery? As representatives of Drynax. Pride of Innsmouth. But do let me know if you're not, but you are. Okay. You touched down on landing pad.
Do we become the shame of Innsmouth there? And get a slightly nastier looking livery? No. The two ships are completely different. I don't know what's made you think we're the same people.
To be honest, it's more the awkward
thing. My embarrassing brother has been here, I see.
you touch down on landing pad 47. There's numerous other ships taking off, landing, and it's up to you. You can head towards the terminal. Behind the terminal, above the starport, it extends a large, dark, flat-topped pyramid. Again,
a ziggurat?
Covered in these.
No thanks, I don't.
Covered in these black slabs, the slabs of the dead, if you like, however you want to call them. So it's up to you. you're asked what your business is on Clark if you're approaching and going through the terminal. You have got with you 100 tons of freight.
Basically, anybody who had a consignment for Clark, we agreed to take it along for standard rates.
Okay. Just general stuff. Right. Yeah. I presume we've scanned it. I'm not good to be a drug mule.
Yeah, but it's standard freight terms, basically. Yeah, we take on the sealed crates. It's the sealed crates. Somebody else clears the three customs.
Right.
And so you can organise that being delivered. You will get your payment, which will be whatever the standard term is per tonne of freight. Bearing in mind a tonne is... five times. Basically, you'll get whatever the standard term is divided by five, because these are D-tons.
Yeah, I have some numbers on that, but not right now.
Makes it very confusing.
I think, didn't you say it was 7,000 credits or 11? It was either 7 or 11,000 credits. But
It was a lot, but you're getting 20 times.
Thank you, our accountant, there.
Oh, God, no. I'm not the accountant. I'm just a bloke who occasionally puts his head up and goes, "Oh, there is more to life than engines," and then puts his head back down.
It just strikes me that there's a fair range between 7 and 11, and if that's how things have been,
particularly when you're multiplying,
it could be worse. Could be 6, 7.
I don't know. I don't know. Have you all played the board game Hunter?
I'm aware of it. I've never played it.
I am aware of it.
Yeah, the key first phase of each turn is the president secretly getting the foreign aid, and then
yes,
and telling everybody else, "Oh, the foreign aid is very poor this year."
Mm. Yes. No, it's great.
It takes
fun.
A bit too long.
God, I haven't played it for so it would have been in the 80s. So yeah. I haven't played it for a very, very long time. It would have been a very long time.
But anyway, that's basically what we're saying to approach the freight rates. Being the character in this party with accountancy and freight handling.
Right, fair enough.
As far as code of honour, I will just point out.
You screw over everybody else apart from your shipmates.
And the king.
I mean, actually,
really?
If you... I mean, it's,
I just amended it.
And sort of the king. He seems a nice bloke, to be fair. I would class him as...
Never
maybe,
true of kings.
I would maybe class him as maybe half a shipmate.
It is.
So we won't screw him over unless we really have to.
For the record, it's 1,600 per tonne.
Okay.
Which I can pay to you now, which will be 32 grand, basically.
Oh, 32.
Which is,
there we are.
Frankly, trivial compared to the cost of ship parts, but hey, it all adds up.
Well, it covers you for more than a month, I guess. Mm. So I'll pop that in. Which they are working on. You can arrange, you can leave bots, you can leave Azan in charge of the freight handling, but it's pretty easy to, okay.
And,
it's up to you. You are at liberty in the dismal starport.
I've got a question here, which may be in the library data for the world, or we may have to ask around. Where are the space traffic control offices?
It's pretty clear when you look. There's you can pull up the library data. It is in the ziggurat above the spaceship, above the spaceport. So the lower level of the spaceport is refueling and contracts, miserable space bars. They're very gothy. But the upper part is the administrative.
As I put it in a recently, every starport has Space McDonald's, Space Halfords, Space Holiday Inn.
The miserable, yes, I've seen all these before. As Douglas Adams put it, the past is now truly like a foreign country. They do things exactly the same there.
So, well, actually, first thing, they've posted this reward. Where does the reward say you apply for more information?
Good point. The administrative centre.
Right, well,
let's
go there first.
Okay. You are taken to you're directed to a reception room. Feels so. It's all clad in dark drapes. It's surrounded by black. It feels like a funeral parlor reception. At the base of the ziggurat. Hello, sirs. May I help you? Says the rather glum-looking receptionist gentleman behind the. It looks like a kind of an altar, but it is his desk.
I think you should know. Something in here smells like near death. It's like, I like it.
You are on a planet of Marvins, it's true. How may I help you?
About this reward.
Gentlemen.
No, we're not bringing a proof of them being dead or anything, but we would like to have whatever information you have on the raid.
Ah, the recent raid on the surface of the planet. Ah, let me talk to Akiva Marlis. Please bear with me. He buzzes up. My lord, some ephemerals here about the recent raid. Yes, sir. Yes, no, they don't. No, they definitely don't. No, okay. All right. The Keeper Marlis is expecting you on floor 5, sir. He directs you to a lift. The tech level here, the tech level's always a bit confusing. It is just pre-space flight on this planet, except that obviously they have spaceflight technology that they can use. They're basically Earth sort of levels of tech as our current level, but they mix and match with the local environments. He gestures over to the lift. The black doors open to reveal a black entryway into a mirrored, though why they put mirrors in I don't know, because it's all black in there. Please continue, Keeper Melos. We'll see you now.
Excellent, thank you.
You step into the elevator. It travels several floors up, and the door opens to a small, dark waiting room. A kind of purple-leaved plant is on a black coffee table with black tinted glass, and there's a couple of seats there, black leather. Or leather analog.
So not made from the fingers, then?
You mean they didn't murder cows just to give us something to sit on? I'm disappointed with them.
I see. Yeah, okay. What I mean is they are cow-like creatures that have given up their skin.
Can I interest you in my liver, sir?
There is a red light above the door which says Keeper Melos.
Oh, you don't have to put out the red light.
I was going to do a Roxanne joke, but I can't think of any.
I think you just did.
So, oh, yeah. Well, I didn't. I just referenced the fact that I was going to do one, but couldn't. Anyway. Keeper Melos, it was a relatively short, grey-haired man. Steps out in a dark robe, he's wearing a black tie, a white shirt. He steps forward. Ah, you are here about the raids.
Right.
Please, don't stand so close to me. He stepped, there you go. I got one in the end. He heads into his office. Please have a seat. We don't all sit in coffins here. This appears to be the Clark equivalent of a joke. He sits down in his uncomfortable looking leather chair and sits behind it. Drynaxian representative.
I should just point out that this is the Drynaxian Phoenix. This is not a continuity body of the old Drynaxian Empire, though there may be later corrections to that.
I see, they weren't so keen on...
Mistakes have been made.
It's good to hear Drinax at least acknowledging that, though an official acknowledgement maybe.
Well, they didn't say mistakes have been made, but they don't jump to conclusions.
That's true. May I interest you all in a drink? He picks up a kind of a dark, what do you call those square things that produce liquid?
Square thing? What? Sorry? Or a decanter?
A decanter, thank you. He picks out a dark decanter and pours it into a black tinted glass. A kind of gloopy, treacle-like liquid comes out.
Does it smell quite irony, shall we say?
It doesn't, actually. It smells quite oily. We are careful with alcohol here, as we all must preserve our livers. But not pickle them.
It's
a shot glass level.
Right. I'm not going to knock it back, but I am going to keep it up here. On the grounds that I'm curious that I've got xenophilia. I'm basically, I'll try anything once.
Oh, me too.
As you're lifting it to your lips,
apart from Morris Men.
You get something of a whiff of formalin, which is not something you want to get when you're quaffing a beverage, but you lug it down. Let's have a health check from you.
Get a new level when we get to a higher tech world.
It'll be very preserved.
Pass by two.
Around the world in 80 days.
It takes a strong stomach, but you have one.
Taste and smell 3 on top of my existing perception 15, so I'm really understanding the subtleties of taste of this, if any.
There's actually, you do get a bit of a buzz from it. It's not just, the formalin is almost overpowering, but there are some sweet smells. It's slightly fruity. It's not as not terribly alcoholic, but there is a slight alcohol taste to it. It's a pretty bad. It's like a really bitter coffee liqueur with a bit of formalin.
Oh, I can feel that preserving my insides.
I've got a health of 10, but I'm fit. So I get plus one to it.
Well, you didn't knock it back, so you can just take your time with it.
No, I am sipping it. It is interesting from my point of view.
Sam, do you fancy Sam?
It's alcohol, isn't it?
Ooh.
There you go.
Okay. Well, you're all sipping it back, but Rasane, he pours you another one.
I'll sip the second one.
Oh, interesting.
I should have a t-shirt. Yes. Yeah, I should have a t-shirt that says, that's what I do. I drink things and I drink.
So what interest does Drinect have in our local problems?
Oh, predatory, mostly.
Oh, really?
No, sorry.
Ignore my monkey-descended friend. Sorry, no offence to you.
Also monkey-descended. We shared a common ancestor. It's not the same thing.
Laugh while you can, monkey boy.
In essence, we feel that this is a nuisance that needs to be abated.
And I see.
We trust that once we have done this, you will feel more kindly towards the Drinaxian Phoenix. This is not a requirement of the contract. We just think that, we are the sort of people who do this sort of thing, and perhaps, as time goes on, you will understand that we are not the old Drenax.
The phoenix, the mythical bird that rises from the dead. Interesting.
The ashes.
Well, yes, it is assumed to die during the process of combustion, I understand it. You follow all this mythology, then?
We are interested in all mythologies.
Let me tell you about the Great Mother.
Across all the, perhaps we should turn our attention to the thank you, Mister.
Isn't this chap wonderful? I like you. What's your name?
Keeper Melos. It was
yes, but my eyes have gone blurry for some reason.
Well, the real horror here, of course, was that the raiders destroyed some. You speak of ashes, and his cheeks actually go slightly red, which is the most colour in the entire room. The raiders killed people, killed them prematurely, turned them to ash. They were denied the true death.
Hmm. Do you think that was an objective of their raid?
I think unlikely. They were after... Well, it was a relic quarry they raided.
You'll have to excuse my cultural ignorance. What would they find in such a place?
It is an archaeological dig. We search for the relics from the past to bring us to the glorious day of healing when all shall be resurrected. And he gestures all around him.
Ah, sorry, you said a relic quarry, not a reliquary. Gotcha.
A dig. It is, as you may say, Mr. Valesk, a pun, a bit of amusement, you know, for...
We used to have that.
For humour.
My home planet too.
So you see, rather than a reliquary, this is a relic quarry. So there is a space
but
between...
But they were aiming specifically for this site. That's really interesting.
Well, it is one of the newer ones. They're relatively unguarded and make a good space, a good place to raid, I imagine. We do not have the greatest air defences.
Well, you'll understand.
Please, give us details of these air defences.
We've been making a certain amount of study of interstellar raiders, you'll be aware, of course, of Ogma. He points in exactly the right direction, accounting for hyperspatial drift, planetary rotation, everything else.
It's wonderful.
And they have specific goals on their raids. They're not just, we will come down and smash and grab and take your beer. They have a specific thing they're after. For them, it's usually technologically adept workers. Finding out what these people wanted
is
key to finding out who they are.
I see. I mean, we are interested in revenge for the true deaths. But if I can help you in any way track them down, I will. I can direct you to the site.
That is a place where you could go, then certainly, yes. Yes, indeed.
If we're allowed to go there, yes.
If you treat the place with respect, I can grant you temporary visas. Why are you grinning, Mr. Wallace? You shit.
Two heads slowly turn and look at Sam.
My name is not Vellers. That's somebody else. That's absolutely fine. I'm not. No, I'm actually grinning because this time I thought you said temporary thesis instead of temporary visas. I wasn't even going to bring it up, but since you asked.
I will offer you some temporary feces. No, that's not what you said. Okay, he calls down to reception. Grant these three temporary visas and passage to the reliquary site that was very good, please. Guess the ephemerals, yes. No, they haven't yet. No, I don't expect so. All right, thank you. If you will proceed downstairs, gentlemen.
Thank you, you've been most helpful.
And you have been...
Ephemeral?
Here.
In my room. Yes, you must understand. We have nothing but the sympathy that we can offer for you who are merely passing through. Yeah. He doesn't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out.
That's consideration, that is.
he waves you on. Obviously, you will be aware of the bounty. We would be very grateful. If you do manage to capture these scum... And again, it's about the most passionate you've seen him. Then, yes, we may be interested in further collaborations. I've heard much of your Prince Herrick. But we will talk about this later. You are led back down to reception. You are handed stamped visas, and you are led outside and told to wait for a Grav.
Wait, we can't rent our
car, which will take you to. It's preferred that you don't wander about at liberty.
Well, do we have time before that to visit traffic control?
Sure. Yes, he will. Yeah, he'll grant you. He will. He will call ahead if you tell him that to say.
Yeah,
to offer
we're
him
not trying
assistance.
To,
that will be in another
to
part
hide
of this building.
Bit of what we're doing.
So this is yes. Basically air traffic control for the starport. Yes, I feel they may offer you another drink. I'll just go and get one ready.
Sorry, if I'm treading on people's toes, do just jump in.
No. This is what the captain is supposed to do, especially the captain who basically has the gift of the gab, voice, charisma coming out of his ears and their big ears. Yeah. Give me an astro spanner and I'm your man, but put me in a conference room and I'm there going,
this isn't an astro spanner, this is a space spanner. That's a totally different tool.
Who made this hydro spanner anyway? I mean, why would you want one of those?
Yeah. Hydro spanner?
Yeah, I never did work out what a hydro spanner is.
Hydro cutter, fair enough.
Because if it's just the spanner you use on the plumbing, then that's a spanner, isn't it? I mean,
from near 5/8 Whitworth.
Well, surely it's a monkey wrench.
Have I told you the monkey wrench story? My father was a radiologist. And quite...
Mm-hmm. That's an unusual start. I wasn't expecting that
start. He would work on putting people's backs back together. Now, obviously, as part of the team. And the standard thing they would do on this is they would put in fastenings to hold the spine in place while it healed. And then, you know, 6 months, a year, whatever later, they would come back and take the fastenings out so that the thing could finish healing properly. But surgeons being surgeons, they would basically never record what sort of fastening they had used. So, you know, sometimes it was Phillips, sometimes it was Flathead, sometimes it was Allen keys, all sorts of stuff.
Make sure your surgeon uses a checklist.
There's no standardisation.
Whatever the individual surgeon fancied.
Right, what did they just go to Screwfix and get some pipe?
And then boil them up, yeah.
You can do, as long as you sterilise them.
The answer to this was the people who were doing the second stage took to boiling up a monkey wrench and making sure the patient didn't see it.
Oh, my God.
I would have left it next to the anaesthetic. It's just if we run out of gas.
This did turn out to be very expensive because basically when you sterilise it, you boil out all the grease and then you've got a dry steel wrench and then it rusts.
But, yes, really, really quickly.
Also quite hard to use in surgical gloves, I would imagine.
It was a long time ago and I imagine everybody involved is now dead.
You haven't been in a vet practice. Anyway, let's. you are directed up to one of the higher floors of the pyramid, floor 58, into a large open room full of black panelled desks and people talking on the phone. They sound a bit more cheerful, a bit less dolorous, partially because they have more interaction with outsiders. You are directed to a keeper chalice, who again is dressed in black robes with a black tie. She is sitting down in front of one of the monitors. But she's not sort of actively involved in traffic control at the minute. Keeper Melos directed you to me. I gather you have some questions about the raid.
Yes, essentially, what I'm looking for, and I assume that you, of the people in the system, would be the people who have it, is any scan data on the ships. I'm looking for emergence times, emergence locations, acceleration profiles, all this sort of thing.
We do. That's exactly the sort of thing we keep here. Let me see what I can pick up for you. We have some satellite imagery. We have some scanning radar data. Let me see. As you're asking specifically, I probably don't need to make you roll that, you rotten shit. So the reliquary is about 100 miles from here, outside the ruins of a large, what was once the capital city, the city of Hywad.
Right,
Hywad, okay.
Or Hywad.
Until it was Drynaxed.
Until it was Drynaxed. We don't.
It's a bit unfortunate that's become a term, isn't it?
Especially since it's us using it, yes.
So they didn't make any radio communication with air traffic control. They just went past. Indeed. And straight down, did their raid. However, there is enough. The satellites here are kind of, they are not high tech enough to give you super images of the ground, but they are enough to see what sort of ships were involved. So she tracks down the relevant details. She tracks down the radar images, which has all been recorded, and tracks down the satellite image of the attack, which is the best she can do. Which is not bad. It is not hard to see that the two ships, so there's two ships involved. One is a scout, very much like a Suleiman class scout. In fact, it is a Suleiman class scout. Second one is a Far Trader.
Morava.
Yes, Empress Morava class.
Interesting. I revised downward my estimate of this world's defences.
Yeah, exactly. It's hardly a fighting force to terrify people. They did land quite quickly and quietly. So the satellite imagery,
the swines.
But it wasn't known to be an attack immediately. It's not like their defences aren't well enough organised that someone goes in your airspace, you'll immediately attack them.
So unless you come in either in force, appearing close to the planet, or guns blazing, they tend not to think you're attacking them.
Usually, there are some people who have private ships and private estates on the land. They may be revising their defences currently, but they haven't been attacked.
I take it no communications between jump emergence and atmospheric entry.
That's a good question. She has a look and a tap at the monitor. That's difficult. We're getting her to do all this. But she passes her electronic sensors. There were some radio communications between the ships, which were recorded, but they're encrypted. So she can give you
the recordings. We have a genius about that. You are right.
She gives you, these were, not a lot, but they were talking to each other. Both landed near the reliquary. There was some sort of explosion at the reliquary, and they stayed there. So the scout, so basically they loaded up and flew off. The scout left several hours before the Far Trader, whether that's because it took longer to load up, but it was up and gone and out of the atmosphere before anyone arrived. The Far Trader basically stayed there filling up until planetary defences finally got around to getting there.
If I had a two-ship system like that, I'd leave one on top guard, as the Ogmans were going to, indeed.
Yeah, that's what the Ogmans did. These guys did not. Either they were, I don't know, read into that what you will, but they didn't do that.
Or an incompetent one, or they got something else.
There aren't any incompetent commanders left in space.
We have no evidence of.
Or they knew Clark was shit.
That's all I've got, I'm afraid. So it's kind of rainy.
I'm not asking you for the timings, but can we get timings of jump in, jump out? Right.
Yes, you can. Yes. and they were about 2 weeks ago. The scout ship stayed about an hour. Again, I can give you local time, but it's not especially relevant. The Far Trader stayed about 4 hours and only left once it was clear that the gig was up.
So, yeah, not that long, really.
That suggests they're not experienced raiders.
Or not armed enough to be able to
fight. Well, you've got to start somewhere.
To fight the security teams.
Who's got gunnery? Feel free to make a roll watching the ship.
I have gunner.
Yeah. I have gunner.
Yeah, feel free to make a roll watching the set video.
11 and
12. Yeah, and I've got 14 at gunner. Yeah,
okay.
I rolled 11 and I got 13.
So 100 and 200. They're pulse lasers, and they came from the Far Trader.
Right, these guys are pretty much starting out, or they'd have better than pulse lasers, because you generally go for either the mining laser or beam lasers, and you try to get missiles later.
That is just a waste of money.
No. They must definitely be lower.
Mostly harmless, perhaps. Is that everything you require, gentlemen?
I think so. Chaps, you...
BDBD, is there anything else that you can recall about the raiders, BDBD?
You're clearly disturbing the death cult member. I mean, I wasn't on duty at the time, wasn't it? But to be honest, we didn't see. It was only after the raid became known that we searched our records. We did realise once the firing started, but it takes a long time to organise a response around here. I hope you don't mind me blaspheming, but I hope you kill them. I hope you kill them
very
permanently.
Much hope you can hand them over to your justice system since the crimes were committed here.
We can do that dead if you like.
I mean, wouldn't it be nice to basically almost kill them, bring them back, almost kill them again, bring them back, almost kill them again?
We're not torturers, sir. We just want our revenge. Those people died the permanent death.
Well.
Like, as you sadly will. But for here, you must understand that's the greatest
thing.
Well, you
see, I should be taken up into the loving arms of the Great Mother.
She is not interested in hearing about your Great Mother. Yeah. Curiously close-minded for a cultist.
Yeah, that is odd, isn't it, with cultists? Yeah. I mean, they're just not willing to really have an open discussion.
They're not. It's such a shame. You can then, unless you have other business,
I don't think so.
Admin.
I just can't think of anything.
You're led down to the waiting cabbie and the grav car. Erudine, taking you to that reliquary thing. Now, he is not dressed in robes. He is not, he's not one of the psychopomps. He's not a keeper. He's just dressed in kind of browns and greys, which looks pretty snazzy.
In comparison.
Mm. Had that Lazarus in the back of my car the other day. So he drives you off down. It's 100 miles away. It's a fairly short trip in a grav car. He chatters incessantly, which for a cabbie on Clark, it's not actually that. It's still fairly low key. There's a lot of jokes about dying and, oh, he's sorry, you'll never come back, and how that all... He's still the follower of the religion.
Rusin, at least, will drop... We'll
how well-tuned is the car?
No, go on.
Sorry, Roger, that's me talking. All I was going to say is from you might get an idea that Jaffa is slightly single-minded. How well-tuned is the grav car?
The grav car Beretta needs a good old rubbing for a start. And the grav flange is probably, needs loosening with its space nuts. So, there's a lot you could do with it.
Hydro's banner, that's what I'm saying.
Can I just say we all need our space nuts loosening from time to time?
Let me just point out that all these paper stories have little footnotes in them explaining what a carburetor was these days.
I mean, yeah. I neither know nor knew what a carburetor was in any way. But
it's still quite old.
But anyway, a Grav carburetor is very different, as I'm sure you're aware. Is a very different. The Grav injector needs a good fisting.
I will.
That's an engineering
term. At the end of the ride, I will turn around to him and I
tell
will
tell him how shit his car is.
And I will give him a litany of the things that he needs to fix. And I will look around, see my two colleagues wandering off gleefully to the dig, and turn around and say, if you want to leave it here for, you know, if you don't mind hanging around for 10, 15 minutes, well, an hour and a half, about 3 hours, I can basically fix most of them.
Well, we can have a reaction check to see how annoyed you make him by telling him his beloved car is a big pile of shit. Do you have any other, like, reaction-based skills? Are you charming? You've got a disturbing voice.
I've got a disturbing voice.
Leave my car with you. I will make it better. Biddy.
But I am a workaholic.
Car pleasure like she has never known. Biddy.
Let me roll.
Oh, I was going to roll, but go on, you roll.
Well, I've rolled six, so that's actually probably not bad.
Roll, that's really quite bad.
Yeah, that's pretty awful.
Okay, so he's going to punch me then, isn't he?
Well, so you start saying, and you say you're not aware of saying it, but you keep inadvertently making reference to dead things and like, oh, this thing's dead, it's going straight to hell, and all that kind of stuff, which is clearly getting a rise out of the more and more. It's basically, telling him...
cultural insensitivity.
Yeah, you make a lot of cultural blunders. He closes the window and turns his back on you and does not want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be
I have got diplomacy, but it's a high skill of 9.
You could have mentioned that a minute ago.
It never makes the reaction worse. Unlike every other influence skill.
Interesting. That's potentially useful. Still, you never
yeah.
Never mind.
I think you
sorry, I kind of thought I was rolling diplomacy rather than a reaction, but it doesn't matter.
Anyway, for comedy value...
No, for comedy value... No, it is such a minor thing. Many...
If you'd mentioned diplomacy before you rolled the dice, I might let you off for that. Anyway, the relic quarry is... It's what it's like. It's a big archaeological dig on the edges of this... ruined city, and they're digging down through all the compressed machine parts and electronics. It's kind of temporary, very much like an archaeological dig. There's scaffolding heading down deeper into the pit.
Archaeologists.
Yeah, exactly.
But to be fair, there are probably flags. There's always flags.
There's definitely flags, but they're all black. There's subtle variations of patterns on them. There's a large warehouse nearby, or there was a large warehouse nearby. It is now largely destroyed. There's a few bits of wall standing. There are dark...
It's a warehouse.
It is a warehouse. There are people moving around and picking up dark crates, the black sort of polymer crates, and carrying them onto... Grav trucks to take back to.
They're using a lot of their imported tech. I'm impressed.
There is a pile of. Well, this is how they're going to get to their healing. There is a pile of. But also, you just told them how shit they're.
Yeah, yeah. They can't make Grav vehicles. Everyone we see is imported, and they've got a lot of them here.
Well.
Is this basically like Cuba, do you think? Is that the sort of situation? All the tech they've got is running on distilled shampoo or something.
I mean, they're quite close to the spaceport. You know, a lot of the imported tech will come down here. So it's... But it's also very important to them. This is part of their religion, is looking for the tech for the day of healing, or at least pretending to. But also, they make a lot of money out of this because the stuff that they get can be sold on. In fact, do any of you have... trading merchant. Or local knowledge or some merchant. Yeah, merchant role I think is fair enough.
Pass by two.
These are traveller, so the kind of stuff you'll get out of this quarry and the stuff you see being loaded onto the crates. Tech level 14 in traveller terms, which is pretty high. It's not quite height of the Imperium, but it's pretty high.
That's pre-collapse. Tech level, I think, is recorded in the libraries, I see, yeah.
Yes, yeah. So it's... these scraps, certainly the Florian League, who are a slightly weird cult of humans, they will pay quite a bit for this kind of recycled scrap. So not only is it part of their kind of religious ceremony, they get a fair bit of money income from...
Baffed as it sounds, could any of this be useful for the ship? I know it's. I know we need 15, but it's...
yes, potentially. Do you want to steal some?
I don't want to steal any, that's...
It's helpful, but it will be expensive. I mean, it's this sort of stuff that Rashando, the trader, will get for you on Drinex.
I'm just thinking if we get it here...
When it's not coming through a monopoly.
Potentially. But it will be expensive.
Anyway, is there site supervisor or anything like that visible?
Yes, yeah, there's a psychopomp cult member who strides towards you as you approach the site.
How do you do, Keeper?
Yes, I am Keeper.
Monitor.
Hang on, a Keeper Blue Tech.
It'll come to me. nobody ever asks.
You're a rule for it to be Keeper Tits.
Keeper Tits, I barely knew it. Keeper Renin.
Dennis?
Renin. Keeper Renin.
Renin?
Yeah.
Oh well, got the set.
It's a hormone.
Don't pay it.
Keeper Renin, good to meet you. He bows his head, lifts his hands, does not attempt to shake your hand. The Keeper Melos.
Ah, splendid.
Called
splendid
ahead. Sake. He asked me to extend any help I can and give you. There is little here, I'm afraid, but you may look at what you wish. He points over to large kind of landing tracks and blasted ground where the ship's landed.
Were you here at the time?
I'm afraid not. No.
Is there anybody who was, who is still not only alive but moving around?
The people who are here are over there, and he points to the pile of monolith bricks.
That would be more of the not moving around. But, fair enough.
Rest.
It is a little unfortunate in terms of witness statements, though. Of course, come the day, I'm sure they will be.
Yeah. Our sympathies for their
praise
loss.
Well, there's no need for sympathy. They will be healed. The ones who were destroyed, that is the true tragedy. Does anyone have medic or first aid? Or
first aid I can do.
First aid.
No, not really.
First aid.
It'd be quite hard first aid, but give it a go.
Pass by three.
There you get on.
What? On somebody who's been completely killed?
I rolled 9.
That would be quite hard.
Yeah. What is my first aid?
I can check for you, but you've got your sheet.
14. Okay, so I've rolled 9. Under. So 5 under.
You know, there are little blinking lights on some of these bricks. They're monitoring something. Presumably there is some activity within the bricks. Some of them catch your eye because they sort of follow a similar notation to ones they use on Imperial ships. Mm-hmm. It's just possible, were you expert medics, that some of these could be revived enough to have a conversation with?
Yes, but that would be not only a socially a bad idea, but also blasphemy. And, well, yeah, I'm no... no
Sounds like a good night out to me.
It was a blasphemy, but not while we're surrounded by true believers.
It just crosses your mind, Jaffa. But
file that one away for later, Jaffa.
File that under let's not annoy any more death.
If we need a distraction, maybe.
They can...
There must be some way we can turn this to our advantage, actually, all these dead guys.
Army of zombies... Cheap building materials.
You're assuming they'd be on our side.
They will be taken up by the arms of the
Russians. See, again, all I...
Oh, my
God. All I can think of, John, is 101 uses of a dead cat.
Of what? Sorry, Matt.
Of the 101 uses of a dead cat.
Ah. Except it's more like a dead Lego brick, isn't it, really?
It is, really.
Far as I can see, the purpose of these dead guys is basically construction.
Well, mostly, yeah.
Religious rebuilding, they aid society so that society can aid them.
Yeah, more use as a brick than
ever
was moving about.
Yeah, but society going...
I mean, the fact
go,
that you're in
actually,
the...
I like this temple, and if we remove some of the foundations...
The whole place will fall down.
So let's just leave them, shall we? It's a fundamental
30,000 years
religion.
As a latrine. You kidding
I might
me?
Tell somebody that there's a fundamental flaw in their philosophy.
Back at the spaceport where we're about to take off, you could tell her.
By the way...
Hello, I've written some stuff down for you.
The tracks confirm, or the blast radiant, certainly confirm two ships roughly matching the kind of size and shape that you already knew were there. Those of you with gunnery, you don't really need to re-roll. These were definitely laser blasts that blew the warehouse up.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you've got the idea of what sort of cargo they have. They don't really have a ton of extra things to show you, unless you can think of something else you want to look
so,
at.
So, Keeper, can you tell me what was in this warehouse?
Well, relics. This is a reliquary.
Of a
relics
specific
from
sort,
the days
or...
before. Well, what we've mostly been finding a rich stream of electronics and computer parts. Obviously, when we say computer, the people of this planet, you may not understand, had much more advanced computers. They were of such power, they could run Jet Set Willy without thinking about it. I just want to say Jet Set Willy, sorry.
Fucking Willy.
they were greatly advanced computers, much more than the technology we have. Perhaps more advanced even than you would have on your primitive starships, with which you seek to reach towards infinity. So it has mainly been machine parts and electronics and computer parts. All, of course, sacred
one
to
must
us.
Reluctantly concede that they would have some resale value to the unbeliever.
They would. He can show you an inventory, a pre-explosion inventory. I guess this would be
computer operation.
Computer use? Computer operation, I'd have thought.
Well, so the thing is that you're coming at it from, I know what these things are, but they aren't. It's more of a deciphering how they've recorded them.
Electrician would be ideal.
Right, so they're not recording it in a...
Yeah, they're not like, this is a Pentium. Jesus,
two,
that
yeah.
How about
15,000 Pentium 2?
Electronic repair, you name it, I'll have a go with it.
Heavy penalties if you can decipher their inventory.
I've also
archaeology
electrician
or
might be of some use.
Something.
Yes. I've got archaeology.
I'll give it a go. Yeah, give archaeology a go. I think that's more appropriate. Yeah.
Why have I not got Jack of all trades? What on earth's going on? This is one of my characters.
Because it's good.
It was in Gert's Traveller 3, but I don't think it was ported to 4th. If it was, I forgot to check it.
Oh.
It might be an Into Civil Wars.
So. Okay, well, I've rolled an 8. I have an archaeology of 10.
I also rolled an 8. I've got an electrician of 15.
Okay, you both got a similar success, given that electricians a more difficult skill for them. there's nothing you can see, obviously, that makes you think this is other than all you can think of is this is a fairly poorly defended target for goods that the Florian League would give quite good money for. So it seems to be a high opportunity, low risk raid. You can't see anything obvious that suggests they were after something specific.
It's almost like raiding a recycling centre or something. It's not that any individual thing is the Maltese Falcon. It's just that if you can get a few tons of it, it's worth
it. If you can cram a load in at fairly minimal risk, that's the best hypothesis you can come up with. The inventory, well, basically nothing strikes out at you other than, you know, this is that kind of stuff.
Is there any sort of signature of what's left that I could turn around and say, yeah, this has come from this planet?
Not without sort of electron. I mean, it's compressed and mushed up and kind of bent copper wiring and gold. Maybe.
It's not like there's a particular radioactive level on the planet or something about the atmosphere that might.
Or even just how it's made.
Maybe. I mean, I would give you a chance. You could certainly record everything and see if you could recognise it in the future.
Basically, what I want to do is record as many different things as I can and see if I can find any consistent things of, I don't know.
Well, there's certainly a consistent radiation level. There are ways
They splice together their cables in such and such a way and so on and so forth.
Yeah, that's fair. Yes, you'll have to remind me of that, but I would certainly give you a bonus for checking. Let me write a note of that. But yeah, you reckon there are some things that probably, I mean, you have to bear in mind a lot of planets around here were destroyed by the Drynaxians. So it's not that uncommon for this kind of stuff. But
no.
Everyone has different ways of doing things. They've been compressed in the Earth and destroyed by nuclear fire. But yeah, maybe.
Who hasn't?
But let me, I'm just going to write, you've got a bonus to recognize Clark artifacts electronics, and then we can upset any listeners by me and us all forgetting that you've got that in the future.
Mm-hmm. What have I got?
I can't remember. Something. Anything else you wish to check while you are at the site of the attack?
I don't suppose there's any surviving recordings or anything of that sort.
There were cameras, but they were all destroyed in the attack. So the best you've got is the satellite imagery and the encrypted radio messages.
These people just aren't helping themselves, are they, really?
No,
it was the pirates that were helping themselves to their equipment. And I don't mean genitals. Sorry?
Once.
Okay, well, unless you can think of anything else, you are escorted back to the pissed-off cabbie who now says nothing the whole trip back. Mercifully or not, depending on how you feel about that. And you are...
Ross,
enjoying that.
Ross, yeah.
I may have insulted our beloved cabbie. I do apologise. Could you do your normal and make it right, Billy Billy?
I merely voiced the rumour that he was sexually tilted in favour of sleeping with the dead. I didn't start the rumour.
You've
I
been
merely voiced it.
Round here? Well, that's disappointing. So much for the sex tourism industry.
Oh, God. I mean, you could stick your dick in a brick.
You think there's the slogan right there?
Necrophilia. Oh.
To the tourist office.
Sorry, Tony. I'm sorry you had to come in at that.
Excellent timing.
I'm good. Good luck in explaining that one to her.
Yeah, well, they just need some good PR people, don't they? But yeah, don't go to a brothel.
But slightly more seriously, Rosanne will try to get the cabbie to unbend a bit just by chatting away.
Well, I mean, this is kind of beneath your diplomacy. You do eventually, over the course of the 30 minutes or so it takes to get back, get him to calm down, get him to relax, get him to open up.
As much as somebody from Clark ever can.
Yeah, yeah. He's less dour than the psychopomps, but that's a bit like saying Andy Murray is a bit less dour than Gordon Brown. You know, it's limited the amount that they have. I hugely respect both of them in various ways.
What are you trying to say, Nick?
Basically, what you're trying to say is that you are believing they're Dead Ringers characters as opposed to their real characters.
Andy Murray, huge respect for when someone's like, aren't you the first winner of Wimbledon three times? He's like, no, I'm the first male winner of Wimbledon three times.
Yeah. There was this lady called Virginia Wade who did quite well.
I mean, that's probably completely inaccurate sports knowledge, but he really stood up for...
No, he's
a good lad.
Yeah.
But he is dour. I think that's the point I'm trying to get across. His demeanour is of a dour disposition. And that's what Clark people are. Okay, you return to the spaceport.
Okay, unless anybody else has anything. Oh, there was one thing I wanted to do. This is a world on which you are allowed to carry practically anything short of military weapons. Oh, God.
So you're going on a crime spree.
No, what I want to do is buy a shotgun.
Oh, buy a slug thrower.
Yeah, because there are a lot of worlds where, for some mysterious reason, they will not allow my fully automatic Gauss
shotgun. You're not allowed
shotgun.
A Gauss shotgun. I think, as we've discussed offline, the main thing that seems to be the limit is rate of fire. Really, they're not interested in things that can fire a lot of bullets very quickly. You can certainly get the equivalent of a normal shotgun.
It works off the same skill, therefore.
Mm-hmm.
And if you buy loads of them and then put sort of a sling over you, so you end up with a load of them hanging
basically
around.
Got
you,
the same rate
it's
of
pretty
fire.
Much the same. Yeah.
Raw sign, can you buy one for me?
Or if you wire all the triggers together. I mean, it's effectively just one shot, isn't it?
It is, but it's a very powerful shot.
The thing about a Gauss shotgun is not that much recoil compared to an actual shotgun.
Have you ever seen a pud?
Don't use it on roller skates, is my advice.
Yeah. You ever seen a pud gun being fired?
I've not, but I've seen.
Funnily enough, yes, I have. There's a particular YouTube channel.
Yeah, there is. And basically, I've seen one, the saddest and funniest combined simultaneously. I've seen somebody put one to their shoulder.
Oh, blimey.
Oh, it hurts.
How are they coping being a one-armed person?
It really, really.
Were
really
they in
bad.
A boat?
No, they were actually on. They were on land, and they dislocated their shoulder.
The boys' anti-tank rifle has a reputation in that regard. It has lots of recoil padding and so on, but it's a really powerful cartridge. It's also completely inadequate for actually getting through tanks. But hey, never mind.
Yeah, isn't that the one where you actually you put it kind of against your chest?
No, it has a conventional stock. It's just deeply inadequate. Yeah.
Sandy, I think the best anti-tank weapon is putting a bomb underneath.
I have a German training film about that. It's very optimistic.
Okay, or dropping the bomb.
A Piat or a bazooka is much better. But anyway.
Anyway,
they won't sell us any of those things on this world. It's very depressing.
You can buy, it has no trade codes, but they do sell machinery, that sort of thing. You could get, so it's 5 mega credits to upgrade your ship. You could cut that to, I mean, you'd have to spend a lot to cut the materials price down a bit, but for every mega credit you spent, that would be equivalent to 2 mega credits on the ship here.
We haven't got mega credits.
No, I mean, you could buy proportions of that. What I'm saying is you could 2-for-1 it a bit, but still you need labour and things like that.
Yeah, but labour,
we could raid the place, sell stuff off, and then come back. No, they might recognise us.
Although
that seems to be what other people are thinking of.
The Clark is technically pre-industrial. And Torgol, yes, where we're going next to find out about the other half of this raid, is a water world. So they don't really have any obvious trade jumps between them.
Yes, Torpol is a kind of a... like literally water world. I don't think there's any dry land at all except at the poles, which is where people live.
I remember pre-industrial, but do they make anything like artisanal lilos or something on this world?
No.
That's a pity. That is a pity.
They would be all in black.
Is there any trade from Clark to Torpol?
No, I mean, some, but not that it'd be worth any kind of
profit. Nothing obvious that
margin
we can load up on, but let's see if there's any freight, as with the stuff we brought here, let's see if there's anything worth shipping that somebody's going to pay for.
Well, let's have a merchant check to see what you can find. While you avail yourselves of the space port, excellent toilets. Well, that's a different way of approaching it.
Yeah, perhaps not.
Sadly, those body-filled bricks don't float that well.
Body-filled bricks. Brilliant.
Oh, float very nicely on the Mercury Sea.
I'm hoping water world literally means something recognisably water, not just fluid world. Because if it does turn out to be Mercury,
yeah, so.
It's going to cause a few issues, isn't it?
I'm sure it'll be fine.
If you did have a Mercury world, what would getting close to the sun do to it in its orbit?
Nothing good?
Well, no, I'm thinking the tides would be potentially dramatic.
Yeah. The massive toxicity might be a concern as well, of course.
Yeah,
that's an issue. Sure.
Okay, yes, you can certainly get... So again, you're limited in how long you want to stay on Clark.
Yeah, I find ourselves liking the music.
I was
thinking more Early Sisters. So,
it is. well, let's say you can get 46 tons of freight in a day, so feel free to roll that as you made it by 4.
Best roll I've had all evening, 22.
Okay, you can load up with that relatively simply, and you can head towards the water world of Torpol. I'm just checking whether Clark has a gas giant or anything, or are you going to pay for fuel?
Clark does not have a gas giant, but it does have surface water.
Okay, you can get permission, given that you're helping to suck up some water and use it for fuel. So you can fuel up for free, which is basically all your fuel's really expensive in travel, isn't it? So if you can do that, it's very helpful.
Yep.
Yeah, there are a few worlds around here where you can't do either, but not very many. Hilfer, I notice.
It's worth knowing about. We'll just load up with fuel before you go. Okay, you launch into space and enter the shadowy otherworld. Presumably you're heading towards Torpol now, which
is
a jump 2 away?
It's 1 away, but it's still a week, so...
It's a week, okay. Let me pop you there. You're not rushing. I'm not going to make you roll particularly for this. Let me pop on that you're loaded up with 20... How many tons of freight was it?
22.
All right. Anything particularly you're doing in jump space for a week? I will note that you have some encrypted radio communication.
Yeah, Jaffer, is that something you can do anything with?
Get outside of my wheelhouse.
I
mean, I've got overconfidence, but I don't think it applies to... Yeah, I can break this.
Yeah, we're...
As it sounds, I probably...
You might start doing it overconfidently, but within 10 minutes.
With that ship here, we are an all overconfident party.
Yes.
I can do it. No, I can do it.
What would you think would be the best skill? I have computer operation, computer programming, electronic repair for pretty much anything you could say, armoury, mechanics, and electrician.
I think decryption is probably computer operations, I would have thought.
Let's have a go with decryption then.
It is quite hard, so this is... You're going to be at -4 effective skill.
Well, as I've rolled my skill, I've got a skill of 13 and I've rolled 13. I'm aware... Yeah. Somebody who's better at it than me would probably be able to do it. But
yeah, if you want to be strictly by the rules, there is a cryptography skill, which I don't think any of us has, which defaults to mathematics, cryptology, -5, which I suspect also none of us has.
I've got maths.
It's really about getting the computer to run the right programs and working. Basically, it's not.
I've got the. I've got applied mathematics.
Yeah, which is a different specialty. You can't.
Yes,
double
no. So that's -3 to get. Yes. So
no, really can't double default.
I mean, basically. God, no, I know. But either way, if you took it back. I think I'm actually now at, I would have to critical to actually have a chance in the first place.
I think the best you can get is it's fairly short back and forth.
You could double default
bursts of radio. It doesn't.
Well, zipping and unzipping the file and nothing seems to work.
If nothing else, I guess you can, just from the length of the messages and the time, it didn't seem to be someone barking commands at someone else and them saying, yes, sir. I don't want to be the tail that wags the dog, but I'm just trying to think.
There's no way you can stop now, is there? No, I mean, if we just occasionally throw one in.
Not until I pick the bones clean. No, I'm done, actually.
Really?
I don't know.
You could turn that around a few times just to be
that's the best you can...
pack it in, have you?
I'm not like a terrier, you know. I don't attack things for too long. Done now. Done.
Okay.
You take the.
So we're not getting with the encrypted stuff, except for basically Shannon still applies to some idea of how much data might be involved.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's voice communications. I think you could say that there wasn't more data than you would expect from short radio bursts between the.
Is it going to be worth finding and paying somebody who could?
Well, when we're back on Dryonax, we can probably ask. But
yeah, I mean, there it's TL15, the toy in a kid's cereal box. We'll casually decrypt it.
if this is done with a decoder ring, I'm going to be.
While you're there, I can tell you a bit about Torpol, as it's easy to look up in the week that you are travelling. So Torpol, a couple of parsecs from Drynax, a single parsec away from Clark. Torpol is a water world, no surface land. The limited population lives on ice caps at the north and south poles on a huge stilt-supported platforms built in shallow water. The primary industry is fishing and hydrogen fuel. The provost who rule the planet are canny merchants buying and selling goods along the Florian trade route.
They sell hydrogen fuel?
Yes.
So eventually it'll become a water world with some land.
Because
if they've got areas that are shallow,
yes. Yes, I mean, it's a very slow form of terraforming, I guess. It's also a planet that's made its name for shore leave around the sort of equator, around the tropics.
It made its name for shore leave. It hasn't got any shores.
They built
it has an incredibly high law level.
it's built a string of kind of pleasure ports, as they call them, like Hawaii-style...
Five-O's?
Kind of erotic relaxation areas.
Not Five-O's, then.
Yeah, no, not those. but part of the thing is that they're supposed to feel wild and untamed and exciting, but they're actually really heavily policed. That's what you know about Torpol. And a subjective week later, you emerge from the...
One thing I want to do is, especially if we think we are probably going to be able to use materials from Clark, I will start factoring that in or start doing some of the... Oh, if I use this instead of that, I can...
Oh, okay, yeah.
So basically start planning for, if we could.
Yes. I mean, you might get lucky and find somewhere that, you know, was a starport that was destroyed, and that might have a ton of stuff. But, yeah, okay, I will bear that in mind. The water world, what's the size of Torpol? It is, I'm terrible at decoding.
Five, so.
Hello.
Sorry, what's it?
Much smaller than
Madeline.
Clark. So it is more quite a small blue gem against the inky black.
Maybe about half a G.
Yes, gravity is much lower. It's a small world, but it's completely covered in water. As you ping into the reality of space time. 100 diameters away from the port of Torpol. Again, your bulletin board updates. They are offering 2 mega credits.
Oh, now we're talking.
For the raiders that attacked. Attacked the industry of Torpol. Again, it has a high port and a down port. Again, the high port is really just for refueling. The downport is down on the most commonly used downport is the one on the South Pole.
Right. It's all right, I'm within Bluetooth range.
So again, you can, it's up to you. You can radio in or sneak down, steal some water, shoot up the place.
Sorry, we're just having an emergency.
Oh. Nice pussy. Sorry, that was
a cheap
shot.
Seemed very gratuitous.
I know.
Somewhat demeaning to my cast.
Well, also, you know, I didn't do that every time I saw a cat in my professional career.
I really hope not. Otherwise, you'd actually have kind of like a slightly stove-in face on the
right. And some chapters of the memoir that were definitely papers only.
It's up to you. The world, the blue pearl of Torpol is your oyster.
Well, I mean, let's check it. Obviously, checking the traffic control anyway. But I'm up for landing at the port again. It's where the sensor data will be.
Yeah.
The news that you can gather. This is a bit more gregarious port. There is talk of an orbital factory being attacked by pirates. Any kind of industrial stuff actually on Torpol is not on Torpol because it's all, unless they're hydrogen fuel refineries or that sort of thing, there are quite a lot in orbit.
So it's in orbit, but what, surely they've got some defences for that.
You would think so, yes.
I mean, it's not mentioned, but...
Again, the tech level on Torpol is relatively low. I think they're at 8 as well. Mm. So similar to...
Well, they still throw rocks at them.
Yeah, they can, yes. But again, they've been helped with a lot of this stuff by other civilizations.
Well, let's start with the wilderness refuel and talk to the port, and then we can see where else we might want to get to.
Okay. You knock down. You drop down. Refuel. the downpour of Torpol. It's covered in large kind of billboards proclaiming, you know, these pleasure planet, these, all these pictures of
sexy, have sexy, sexy time here.
Yes, exactly. And these beautiful beach scenes, which are sort of the, you can't help but notice the billboards are covering up the windows, showing the howling polar wind outside. But the, obviously the port, the pleasure ports are elsewhere. Most of the thing on this downport is to try and direct you to the pleasure ports, because there's not a ton here.
Apart from all the stuff that we actually want.
I may have xenophilia, yes, but I also have self-control.
I have xenophilia.
It's a bit less xeno for you, mate.
I've got overconfidence.
Less of the xeno, more of the philia.
This is xenophilia.
Philia, I bet.
So perhaps you haven't got xenophilia, but you think you have.
Oh,
take
goodness.
Me glasses off and wait.
Oh my god. Let's not. This is why he spends a lot of time in the engine room on his own.
That does seem like a good point to just call it tonight.
I do. We will just end with you, again, presumably expressing your interest in the attack. And this time, you are met, just as you pass through customs, with a large man in orange, bright orange robes, with a golden fez on his head with a peculiar structure on top of it. Hello, hello! He's got several glasses of drinks in his hand. He hands one to each of you.
Sounding a lot like Alistair Crowley.
You notice that on top of the fez, the peculiar structure as he gets closer, is a scale model of the starport that you're on.
Cool.
Hello, hello, welcome to Torpol.
I'm Rosane, who are you?
Hi there.
I am Provost Fox, and I would be delighted to make your stay on Torpol as pleasurable as possible.
Kit off.
Nice hat. Like that.
Thank you. It's custom made. I'd be delighted to tell you all about it, but unfortunately our session is about to end, so we may have to leave it for a week before I say another word.
They don't have a lot of time for people. They make you think you've been personally welcomed, and just move on to the next person. It's also corporate.
And we'll leave it
thank
there
you very much,
Provost Fox. Congratulations for not starting an interstellar war yet.
Oh, when we start an interstellar war, it'll know it's early been started.
It'll be deliberate, you hope.
Probably. Very probably.
Oh, thank you very much, Nick.
Lovely. Thank you all.
Cheers, Nick.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye. Okay. Cheers. Bye, everybody.